So one day is Thursday, May 14, 2026, and this is a week in charts. Obviously, I want to thank all you guys and girls for attending. I appreciate taking time out of your busy schedule to be here. So what are we going to talk about? Well, current market conditions, as usual, I have a lot to say about that, especially with this honey badger type of market. Questions on trading, just punch them in right now. Your favorite stock and crypto picks, you can go ahead and punch those in too. Just add USD after crypto, so I know it's crypto. I want to continue, as I probably will forever, as long as I'm around, talk about the missing piece in trading, and that's to actually have somebody show you the trades, and I'm going to talk a lot about that in just one second. I want to follow up on what I started last week, the nuances of trading a specific methodology, and as I've said before, the sun doesn't shine on the same dog's ass every day, but if this trade continues, it's going to shine on us, and I believe that very much. I also want to get a little deeper to the Landry 100. I'm getting a little interest in that, and I want to explain how I made it or how I maintain it, the greatness of following momentum. And then there's ups and downs too, and that'll come out. And of course, if you have any questions, just type them in. There's my contact information. We'll come back to that in just 1 second. There's a flame screen. As you know, you can lose money trading. I was off to sum it up. Borrowing a line from my buddy, Greg Morse. All predictions are about the future, and a lot of stuff can happen between now and then. There's my contact information once again. You can also reach me at dave@davelandry.com. I do have a Facebook group, and it's a really good group. You do have to be at least a gold member. The group's free, but you have to be a gold member of davelandry.com at least, or a trading service member, which includes gold. There's going to be no show next week. I will be doing a webinar for Meta stock, and here are the links for that. And if you're watching a recording of this, it'll be down in the comment section. All right, let's get through this as quickly as possible. As I said 1,000 times, when I first started trading, I had mixed success. And you know, you always have mixed success as a trader. Sometimes you have a really amazing streak, as I'll allude to in just a minute. And sometimes you go through a bit of a drawdown, as we are now, which is tough because the market's making new highs. But the great thing early on in my career was I was able to see other traders talk about trades and actually take the trades, as opposed to a highlights reel or something, or where they pick and cherry pick the best one and brag about it. Not that I won't do that, but I'll show you all the trades, warts and all, as you'll see in just 1 second. Anyway, so let's talk about the mystery charts and the methodology and action. The mystery charts come straight from my trading service. So this was going to be a mystery chart, but it did trigger. And it's a little unorthodox, but it is a bigger picture type of bottoming type of pattern. It's also a bow tie. And you can see that the bow tie proper order, 10 greater than 20 and 20 greater than 30, 20 and 30 being exponential moving averages, were in uptrend proper order after flipping from downtrend proper order. And the red down here, just FYI, is downtrend proper order. Yellow means they're meandering back and forth. They're in no order whatsoever. And then green means, again, 10 greater than 20 greater than 30. So it's also kind of a cup and handle or sausage and handle, if you prefer, type of pattern. I just like this stock because it bottomed out very nicely. It pulled back, obviously, and then nice thrust from lows. There's all your parameters. The entry is here, stop is down here, and the initial profit target is up here. So it barely triggered, just kind of spiked up, hit that trigger, and came right back in. So far it's not working so well, but it is rallying a little bit today. So it still looks like a bigger picture top to me. It still looks fantastic. So as I often say, this one is college fund worthy. Put 100% of all your grandkids and kids' college funds into this one. At the time I took the snapshot, we had $1,175 in open profits. But again, I still think it looks pretty good. And of course, I will follow the system because I'm putting out, again, I'm telling you what I'm going to do, and then I'm going to actually do it. So I'm going to keep this trade open until it's stopped out, as you'll see in an example in just 1 second. Here's another one that's not a mystery chart. And the reason it's not a mystery chart is a stock directly from my trading service. And obviously my clients see the actual parameters and everything. And then I show you those each week so you can see warts and all, as you'll see in 1 second, when they work, when they don't work, and that I'm following the plan. As I've said 1,000 times, my trading service is my commitment device for my core trading. And that's the bread and butter of how I trade momentum. Now, I do some ancillary things, one of which I'll show you in a few minutes in crypto. But the crux of what I do is pullbacks and riding the trends as long as possible, taking a swing trade profit, and then again, riding those trends as long as possible. And I will do a little bit of breakout, what could be considered breakout trading, little air quotes there, for something like IPOs. I have the buy and be pattern, and something like crypto, which I'll walk you through a couple of trades in just 1 second. Anyway, this stock was headed lower. It bottomed out. It made a nice rally from lows. This is an IPO. And sometimes IPOs get a little ahead of themselves. They go down, they bottom out, consolidate, and they take off again. And that first deep retracement after it comes flying off the lows can be a really good pattern to trade. There's all the parameters. I have them blocked out down here because it initially was a mystery chart, but it no longer is. Another stock that's college fund worthy, entry of 11, stop down here, and initial profit target up here. This is since triggered, since I created the slide a day or so ago. Now here's one we've been in forever, and so far not so good. You can see the Landry Light down below, kind of a TKO type of move. Also a Landry Light pullback based on the next day's action. Landry Light pullback just simply means you have Landry Light, which are lows greater than the moving average. In this case, I use the 30 EMA, which has become my favorite moving average. Entries up there, stop is down here, and the initial profit target is up here. So it triggers and initially did okay, but then it came back in, and it came fairly close to stopping out. And at this point in time, we had -$1,382 in open profit. That's based on a 100K account. And when I first started talking about this one after it had that big open loss, my intention was to show you just to follow the plan, good, bad, or indifferent. And if you don't follow your plan, then you're going to, not on every trade, but eventually miss some really big winners. And by the way, that's one thing I want to point out. Even though the portfolio is currently negative, in spite of the market going straight up, which can be a little frustrating, and I'm going to get to that in just 1 second. I know deep down, I can take solace in the fact that all I need is one big winner, and that's going to take care of everything. Like Sakota sang in the Whipsaw song, which I saw him sing in person, was a little banjo, it's kind of fun. One, you get a whip and I get a saw, meaning getting whipsawed out of trades, one big winner takes care of them all. And he's definitely right on that. But anyway, in prior webinars, this improvement was much better, but we still had an improvement on this. So we'll just see what happens. So a little boxer is maybe too soon to celebrate, but you can do it, as the Tony said from Waterboy, I believe. All right, now I'm going to show you something a guru has never showed you. Remember earlier this year when the market was selling off, what did we do? Like good little trend followers? Well, we started shorting. You know, as I often say, whenever I start shorting, not my favorite thing to do, and I'd be perfectly okay if they all stop out and the market goes straight back up. Well, be careful what you wish for. That's exactly what happened. We lost on both of our short trades, but the market's now going up, and we're seeing a little improvement today, I think, in the portfolio. I think we just went into black for the day. But we're still in a drawdown, still have some losing trades. Anyway, this made a bow tie to the downside. So like good little trend followers, that line should be down here. My chart is a little off, sorry about that. But you can see it pull back right here, okay? Bow tie to the downside, entries here, stop is way up here, and initial profit target is down here. Now here's the thing, the great thing about transitional setups, transitions meaning a new emerging trend from an old trend to a new trend, so notice, this made all-time highs here, sold off hard. When that happens, generally not all the time, right? But when that happens, at least initially, those who bought at or near the all-time highs, and then as it drops below a base like it did here, they're going to be looking to get out at break even. So that gives you a little bit of a backstop, so to speak, on your short trades or your long trades like the NUCL, if you can get that stop fairly close to the, or is it NKLA, NKLR, NKLR, I think, fairly close to those old lows, okay? You know you're definitely wrong. Sometimes in a pullback, you get long and then it starts pulling back again. It keeps pulling back. And you're never really 100% sure where your stop should be to help ensure that the trend has rolled back over and you're not getting long. So with the transitional setup, if your stop is way up towards the old highs like it was here, if it gets up there, you know you are wrong. And unfortunately, it gapped higher a few days ago, stopping us out. Again, that's okay. I'm going to use the word hope. Let's hope we have a longer term bull market and we just ride out some of these positions for a long, 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 long time and make lots of money. And I'm going to come back to momentum in just 1 second to show you some of those winners, what's possible with the Langer 100. Anyway, it happens. Spelled a silent SH. Stopped out 1820. This is on 100K account. You're risking 2% per trade, so you lost 1.8% overall. It sucks, but it happens that it comes to the territory. So we're no longer in that, and we're no longer in the shorting business until and unless the market begins to roll over. Now, I want to talk about the Langer 100 and how speculation, and right now it's very obvious, but even during the rollover, there was a lot of strength, and for the most part, I was able to find enough stocks to keep 100 stocks for the most part. That is, I think we dropped down to about 95 at one point during the spill we had back in February. But now we've got plenty of stocks for Langer 100. Now, I want to take a step back because I talk about this quite a lot, like everyone knows what it is. And I do have two Substack articles out there on this. One is how it's made, which I'll be updating soon because I added a new rule. And two would be the current updates. Now, if you're a client of mine, that's free to you, obviously. And I do publish the list fairly often, at least once a week in my Facebook group. But the weekly updates, if I say so myself, are pretty good. And it's a good thing for me to do, too. I'm looking at where the momentum is, where it's stacking up. There's no maximum for the amount of positions in one area. So right now, it's heavily weighted in the semiconductors. And if you take a look at those, that aforementioned article, you'll see I do a pie chart in there. And most of that's free. There's the actual list is behind the paywall. Unless, of course, you're a client, you can get it for free. So let's take a step back and talk about how the list is created. Down below, I plotted the formula so you could see the actual formula. And if we zoom in on that, that's the entire formula, okay? Close divided by max C 252, okay? Max C 252 is the maximum close of the last 252 days, which is one trading year thereabouts, okay? When you add in holidays and weekends and such. And if that's a one, okay, it has to make a new 52-week high. Now, just real quick, let me just rewind for a second. Sometimes if we get into a longer-term choppy market or, God forbid, a bear market, which we will eventually, I might start dropping down the parameters for entry. And years ago, when I did this for a while, years ago, and I regret that I quit, but I remember one reason I quit was the software used to track it was no longer made. So it is a little bit more work nowadays than it was back then. But I was thinking as I went live, hopefully I'll never stop doing this, even though it doesn't really pay me anything to do it, okay? Other than maybe some clients might be interested in it, and that would be wonderful. But it's been a wonderful exercise for me. That's why I'm going to continue to do it, whether it seems like it's worthwhile or not. You know, my wife will see me doing a lot of these things, and you know, she wants to know how they're monetized, and it's like, they're not really monetized, but it makes me a better trader. It alerts me to potential momentum stocks. So it's hard to draw a direct line. As if you're married, you probably know your wife will want to know, well, is this really worthwhile? In a lot of cases, maybe not, but or it's hard to justify. But for me, it's easy to justify because a lot of these stocks, like this AXTI, which we'll talk about in just 1 second, was in a trading service a while back. And we did okay on it. Unfortunately, we got knocked out. And I'm looking in here, I also see PL still in here in this particular list, and we were long that one. So a lot of these stocks, we at some point in time were long. Now, I'm not just grabbing everyone that's at a brand new high. And I thought about that before going live, and that's why I did the slides at the last minute. There are some caveats to adding stocks to the list. And I was thinking about it. It's like there is some stock selection that goes behind it, which, as one of my clients says, it has to be, it's more caught than taught. But for this, it's fairly easy to kind of understand. So just with that saying, I want to put the more volatile stocks in first. I am seeking inefficiency, okay? So a big, thick, stodgy company is not going to move as much, although we've had some big cap stocks move lately and do really well, but it's not going to move as much as a slightly lower volume, more higher HV type of stock. HV is historical volatility. And that's an annualized number. And don't quote me on this because I'll show what little I know about statistics and mathematics. But it's my understanding that historical volatility is, if let's say a historical volatility is a reading of 10, well, that market should be based on today's reading. Now that changes tomorrow, should be 10% higher or 10% lower on an annualized basis. Okay. So the higher that number, the more volatile stock is. Now, coming back to inefficiency, you're not going to beat the market with less efficient stocks. And the reason is they're not going to move enough to beat the market. You occasionally will find some that take off, like I just said. But for the most part, it's going to be very hard to beat the market. And the reason is, even an inefficient stock can occasionally get whacked. I'd rather be in a stock, and I'll show you one in 1 second, that has the potential to go up 100%. And yeah, I know it has the potential to bite me in the ass, okay, as I'll show you in 1 second. But at least I know I have that potential to get that outlier type of move. And years ago, I became friendly with a CTA, commodity trading advisor, and I was one of those years ago too. That's how we became friendly. And he pointed out that we're really playing for the outlier, and we are. Now, you have to have adequate volume. So the first thing I do is every now and then, not every day, but every now and then, I create a new tradable universe sorted by volume. And I think my cutoff is 200 to 300,000. I could check for next week. It used to be, by the way, anybody else notice this? Seems like you used to be able to trade stocks that were much lower in average volume than you can today. And I don't know if they're double counting the volume or what's changed, but seems like I remember back in the day, you could trade 100,000 share stock on average. Now, if you go into those, you could end up with a liquidity type of problem. So adequate volume, you know, ideally a 500,000 or more, but I think I'll dip a little below that, maybe between 300,000 and 500,000 sometimes. Now, ideally I want it to trade cleanly. I like to see it kind of in general go up day after day after day and have clean pullbacks. Now, they ideally, you don't want to see them super crazy, okay? So if you got a stock with the HV of 900 or something that gaps up 100% or something and pulls back 50% and gaps up 100% the next day, I probably won't put a stock in like that, but every now and then I'll put some in there that's a little bit on the crazy side or kind of in melt up mode. There's a couple come to mind, or one comes to mind at least. Car a while back, even though it's wasn't that exciting of a stock, a car rental company, it was kind of melting up, and I thought it would have a place in the Landry 100. As a private trader, you would never want to go in and trade a stock like that because you know it's a very dangerous thing to do. But if you're spreading the risk, just like in general, I'm not a pullback player, okay, as a general statement. But if you're spreading the risk over 100 stocks, you will catch the pullbacks. The breakout. You will catch the breakouts that break out and keep on breaking out. Now, speaking of breakouts, that breakout keep on breaking out. AXTI, when I grabbed this screenshot, was up 1,779%. And you can see the entry date was October 27th. Let's zoom in on that. Okay. Now, you can see some really great numbers in here. And by maintaining this momentum list, it helps. Now, I'm still looking at 2,000 stocks a day, thereabouts. Maybe 1,500 lately, 1,500, 2,000. But by maintaining this momentum list, it also helps me to focus to make sure I'm not missing some of these go-go stocks like the AXTI and a lot of the semiconductors and other stocks listed in here, okay? And the great thing about it is it shows you the nuances of trading momentum, both good and bad, okay? Momentum ends badly, as I'll show you in 1 second. And all trend trades eventually end badly. What starts out as a pullback, okay, turns out to be a bona fide top. You don't know it's going to be the bona fide top at the moment. If you can't sleep at night, go in and look at all the archives of all my old trading service going back 10 years, 20 years, whatever's out there, www.davelander.com/archives, and you'll see we have some really huge winners every now and then, right? And when we exit them on a stop, we give up a substantial part of those gains. Now, a lot of people don't like doing that, and I don't like doing it either, right? But that's part of the system. That's part of the methodology, and you have to follow your methodology. And the reason we do that, give up those open gains, is quite often you will have some substantial pullbacks in long trends. So you might get into a stock and make 200, 300% of that stock, and throughout those trends, you'll see that there's some significant drawdowns to open profits in between. And I forget the guy's name at the second, but there was a good presentation by, I'm guessing he was a hedge fund manager. And his point was that most of the time you're in a drawdown, and I've done complete presentations just on that, okay? And his point was that almost all the time you're in a state of regret. Even on some of these big winners like I'm showing here, suppose you caught one of them, there are days where these days on end sometimes where these stocks get whacked, but their trend continues. And not to digress too far, but the problem with being almost always in a state of regret, and again, I've done several presentations on this. So if you check the weekly charts on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Dave Landry, you'll see some of those. And even on big winners, most of the time you're giving up open profits because markets only make new highs 4% of the time. And I learned that from Greg Morris. You get a lot from Greg Morris. So read his book and learn everything you can from Greg. He's a trip. He's a friend of mine. Anyway, the point I wanted to show you here is, so this one's up 1,779%. It was put on way back in October. Here's one up 800%, was put on way back at the end of July 25, okay? And then this one here, up at 168%, you can see it was way back in March. Now, if you take a look at that aforementioned article that I update every now and then, or once a week at least, or somewhere around then, or somewhere around that time period, on Substack, you'll notice that one of the reoccurring themes is, of course, ride your winners, cut your losses short, but a lot, I show what stocks come out each week. And in those coming out, you'll notice that for the most part, unless it's some big, huge gainer that gave up open profits in the end, like we talked about, most of the time, the ones that are coming out are ones that just went in not that long ago. And sometimes they'll go in and get whacked the next day and come right back out. If you were just picking and choosing a few stocks here and there and trying to trade the breakouts, you would find that breakout trading in general doesn't work. It's worked lately beautifully, okay? The breakout traders, as I've said last week, have been a little smug lately, but as I said, and we'll say again, the sun doesn't shine in the same dog's ass every day. Anyway, so one thing I want to point out is that, and I've been having so many examples lately, I think I had two or three yesterday or the day before, but one thing cool about momentum, I learned this from one of those aforementioned traders years ago, is that surprises tend to happen in the direction of trend. Notice I have the word 10 in italics, because obviously every now and then you get whacked 1-1, which I'll show you in 1 second. But these were all posted recently. On X and Substack and occasionally my Facebook group too. NBIS was up 19% a few days ago. Wolf was up almost 28% a few days ago. And here's another one, MRAM. And so you can see, if you follow me, I'm at T following moron. Surprises tend to happen in the direction of the trend. Okay, now I've been toying with this for a while, and I've had enough stocks get whacked after hitting 100% of war to make me think that now's the time to add a new rule. And by the way, and part of that is, I think longer term, I would like to see this Landry 100 be traded with real money, okay? I know the map is not the territory, but if you have 1,800% winners in there, it shows what's possible. And it was a hedge fund years ago that we started like right going into summer or something, and it went through a drawdown, things got choppy. And so he never did get fully positioned, and it just kind of, we never did follow up or continue with this. But I think longer term, I think it would really, really work. It would be volatile, okay? One thing, not to digress too far, but one thing I learned early on, especially when I had the tracking on everything each day and I could see how well it did or how bad it did, right? It would get whacked really hard, like somewhere between 2 to 5%. This is not a widows and orphans type of methodology here. This thing is volatile, but you can catch some crazy gains with a methodology like this. But anyway, long story endless, what I noticed was this thing would get whacked and the market would be making new highs and be like, wow, why did this get whacked when the market's making brand new highs? And then 2 or 3 days later, the market would get whacked hard. So momentum, especially crazy momentum, gets whacked the hardest. So some of those 800% and 2,000% gainers in there or whatever it is at the moment, those stocks are going to get hit really hard as a general statement. First, they become a source of funds before the market itself gets whacked. And that's it's like looking, giving you a little insight. So that's one thing I do miss. And like the old software I had that was able to track this a lot better would show me that. So that's one of the missing pieces now. But anyway, there's a Substack article. Again, I'll put a link in post so you can check that out. So I'm thinking of, as of May 26th and officially May 5th, because that's when I was came up with the rule, half profits will be taken on any stock that hits 100%. So this is going to be like a from now on thing. So I'm not going to go in and take half of that 1,800% gain in AXTI, but I will, any new stock that I add in, I'm going to take 100% gain. And the reason is, this has happened quite a few times, and it just comes with crazy momentum, okay? So here's a crazy stock, relatively new issue, or new, I think it's an IPO. And I added it when it made a new closing high. It rallied up 186% over the next couple of days, okay? But as you can see here, it got whacked a couple of weeks later, and then I took it out for a 5.66% loss. And all this is done market on close. So the new rule is, when it hits 100% intraday, I'm going to start setting alerts to let me know. And this is all paper trading, but there's zero hindsight in it, okay? It's not like, it's a little disingenuous, but I see people post systems and they brag about what the system did in the past, but they just created the system, so they weren't trading the system, so it's curve fit, okay? So this is all done in real time. This is all walk forward, so to speak, type of testing. But anyway, having enough of these hit like 100% quickly has got me thinking that I should implement this 100% rule. And after this one, you know, finally had enough of them happen to where, okay, this is probably going to be worthwhile. Okay, trading is always a trade-off, okay? Again, if you're using real money, I think you're going to need this 100% rule and possibly some other money management. There's no money management in this because it's 100 stocks. That kind of smooths everything out for these occasional spankings like this one, right? 61% drop in one day. But Dave, I thought you said surprises tend to happen in the direction of the trends. Like, tend is a key word in that sentence, okay? But anyway, so 100% rule, I think it's going to work out. Unfortunately, you know, again, getting back to the trade-off thing, which I didn't complete the thought, is that occasionally you will get that 2,000% gainer, and you're going to have a half a position on that. But I think taking 100% profits half at 100% is going to smooth out that equity a little bit, and it won't be quite as crazy. Anyway, any questions on Lander 100? All right, I want to follow up on what I talked about last week, and I want to focus this week on the nuances. And I think the secret to any methodology is knowing the nuances. And if you go back to my methodology and action presentations, or take a look at that watch list, as I say each week, I just said a few minutes ago, seeing other people trade really helped me out. And it helped me to learn the nuances, okay? The ups and downs, both monetarily and mentally, okay, of following a system. And there is no holy grail, obviously. But anyway, like I said last week, I got this from a friend slash client of mine that's been with me probably 20 years. I remember he and I were talking back in the day, and we were talking about what Hagerty was doing. And God rest his soul, he's no longer with us. Fun guy, Irishman. I tried to match him Guinnesses one night, and the next day I nearly died. But anyway, that's another story. Two drink minimums, more than two Guinnesses, I'll tell you that. Anyway, one of the points he was pointing out is that I'm missing out, and he said losing money. I'm not really losing money. I'm just not making money on new positions. So it's an opportunity cost of following the methodology. Again, it's one of the nuances. But one thing he pointed out was the same thing happened last April. And as I pointed out last week, in hindsight, last April, after the spill we had earlier in the year, similar to the spill we had this year, right? Last April was the absolute low, but it sold off pretty hard going into April. It rallied, and then it sold off again before rallying. And overall, April was a down month. So bigger picture, like on a weekly chart, probably, it just looked like a pullback, and it looked poised to make a new leg lower. But then by May and June, it was pretty obvious that that was a low. Now, like I pointed out last week, I looked at the run we had since, and again, you're going to be a little late to the party. We'll talk about that in 1 second, but this is where we had a six-month period of time with only one losing trade, okay? That streak has been broken, and I knew it would be, okay? So I wasn't trying to imply like the next 6 months we'll only have one losing trade. If I knew that, you'd never see my fat ass again, right? I would dump all my assets, raise a bunch of cash, and then just dump them all into this one thing. There will be drawdowns, right? That's what you have to live with. Anyway, I was kind of shocked myself because it didn't feel like that great of a period. I knew I was doing okay, but it didn't feel fantastic. And that's because, as I just said, you're mostly always in a state of regret. And from a neurological perspective, as I preach, a negative observation has twice the impact on you as a positive observation, okay? So if something bad happens to you, or if you lose on a trade, it sucks, and it really sucks, okay? If you win in a trade, it feels good, but it doesn't have that emotional impact that loss does, and that leads to gambler's ruin. If you Google that, there's some good articles on gambler's ruin based on this neurology out there. Anyway, so like I said, that's how I pulled the rabbit out of the hat, just by following the system. And we were a little late to the party, okay? And as I said before, you will overstay your welcome. So just real quick, again, that was the April lows. And you can see by the end of May, it looks like we have a pretty good bottom in place. And we started getting long in May and June. And we had some fits and starts. It wasn't all sunshine and rainbows. But then we had that one really good six-month period. And the last of those longs was PL, and that was put on right here. Now, the market had gone sideways for a while, but PL was a defense-related stock. Defense was doing pretty good back in February. It's since topped out, or appears to have topped out, in spite of all the wars and shit going on in the world, which is kind of interesting. But anyway, that was the last long was put on. Even though the market was a little sideways, defense was doing so good or so well, I thought it might be worth a shot to go after this stock. I look at everything as from a setup basis first. If I absolutely love the setup, I'll take it. Ideally, you want the market, the sector, the stock to all be headed in the same direction. Sometimes you could have a sector that could trade contra to the overall market or doesn't care as much about the overall market as some other stocks. The correlation could split from the market. You could have a negative correlation. It could go up even though the market's going down. And that's where defense was way back in February. And in that rollover, like good little trend following morons, we started shorting, okay? Didn't get super aggressive on the short side because I've been burnt before and I got burnt again this time, okay? But that comes with the territory. If we ended up in a sustainable longer term bear market, those positions would have done quite well and I would have added on more. If you go back to last year and look at the archives or last week's presentation, and then also did a walkthrough on 2025 earlier this year, and that's where all the slides came from, I showed that we did short when the market rolled over like good little trend following morons, and I think three out of three shorts paid off. They weren't huge gainers. They were like IPT and then stop out, or IPT in a small modest profit, but they were winners nonetheless. This time, not so much. All right, so here's the nuances of trend following using pullbacks. And by the way, I haven't talked a lot about psychology lately, and that's something that I really want to get back into because it's vitally important. If you could figure out psychology, okay, or live with the psychology and live with the nuances of your methodology, whatever that methodology is, then you'll do just fine longer term. Unless, of course, you're trading a methodology that has a bit of a blow-up characteristic, okay? So let's say you're trading reversion to the mean, you know you're going to get rewarded most of the time, okay? You won't be in a state of regret. It'll almost seem like a little income machine, and there's a lot of them that have sold as that out there, but sooner or later you will get whacked, and that might take years, okay? But as I've said many times, I've been presented with a lot of these so-called anthill type of strategies where you make a little, 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 and then you get whacked, okay? And then you start making it back. And I had one guy even show me one that had like a 50% drawdown in the middle of this period, okay, where he was doing testing or whatever. And I pointed that out to him, and it's like he kind of swept under the rug. He goes, yeah, but it ended a year in the plus. I'm like, okay, try, you know, put $100,000 in something like that and then lose $50,000 and try to keep trading that till the end of the year. And then there's no guarantee that it won't half again, right? If it has some sort of blow-up characteristic where you can make a little but lose a lot. It's sooner or later you will lose a lot. I was in that X and DU. I didn't ride it out. I think I just took a day trade on it. But I've been in stocks that you will occasionally get whacked and lose half of the money you put up, half your margin on the position. It happens. So what you're going to need is the occasional outlier. And that's one of the nuances that I don't know if I pointed out today, but let me just say it, you will need the occasional outlier. Like my CTA friend said, we are trading for those outliers, okay? Now, I got this from Greg, but he's not the first person to have said it, but the most recent person in my mind that said it is Greg. In order to follow a trend, you must first have a trend to follow. That's a bit captain obvious, but you can't go back and look at April of last year, okay, or even the recent low and say that you should have been trend following off that low. That's not trend following, okay? Because if you're trend following off that low, okay, the market's still doing that. You should be shorting, and then it's going straight up. And we were shorting, okay? That's just how it goes. But you must first have a trend to follow. So if you think about what happened with the market, we rolled over in February, okay? And then you had this big wad of overhead supply, meaning that people likely bought in that range, and they're going to be looking to get out of break even. Well, the market went into honey badger mode and went right through that overhead supply. Okay. Market could do whatever it wants, right? And it will occasionally do something that's completely unorthodox. Recently, one of the guys in the group, I think it was Chris or CJ, put up a chart that somebody else's post where the NASDAQ did something unprecedented, something that's never done, right? And I started playing around with, you know, all momentum kind of looks the same after a while. So I started playing around with Landry Light, and I think it was the NASDAQ has never had 24 days of, I'm sorry, the Qs, and probably the NASDAQ too. I'll have to go and look at that one. But the Qs have never had 24 more days. We're probably at 26 days now because I put out the post a few days ago of upside Landry Light on a 10-day simple average, simple moving average. So that's how strong the Qs have been. And it's never done that. Just because it hasn't done it doesn't mean it won't. So again, as I said, I think I've said a dozen times already today, you will be a little late to the party. Now, you'll also tend to overstay your welcome because that last correction, right? Last little pullback, which still looks pretty good longer term, right? Could turn out to be the bona fide top, a bona fide top, okay? So therefore, you will overstay your welcome. Now, a methodology can't be all things at all times, okay? So you don't want to fit your system to the church of what's happening now. Maybe on a small basis or something, if you're doing some intraday trading or whatever, and you know the market's in honey badger mode, maybe you want to err on the side of being long, okay? But as far as your trend following methodology, you don't want to change your system midstream. As, again, coming back to Morris, the worst time to change the system is during the heat of battle. So all of a sudden it's like, okay, I'm just going to trade pullbacks. I'm sorry, I'm just going to trade breakouts. Well, guess what? The markets will start pulling back again, and you're going to get whacked on trading those breakouts. As I said many times, and I'm not going to say his name because I don't want to throw anybody in the bus, but I knew a trader, and he had breakout patterns. He had reversal patterns, right? He was a day trader. But it's like if the market if the market broke out and stuck, he made money because he was a breakout trader. If the market reversed after a false breakout, all of a sudden he was a reversal trader. And nobody's that good. If you try to keep changing your methodology to fit the market, you're going to be perpetually out of phase. So I call it BS on that. But anyway, the worst time to change the system is during the heat of battle. Now, here's the thing. If we get into a longer-term bull market, there will be plenty enough time to get long along the way. And that's my whole point, okay? And I know I seem like I'm bragging a little bit, and I'm pretty proud of it, right? I didn't even realize it happened because I was so busy focused on my system, I didn't realize that it was that great over that period of time. But the reason I'm showing you that is if we get into a longer-term trend, there's going to be plenty of time to get long along the way, okay? And the other thing, just kind of thinking out loud here, if you go back and look at the service archives off that low, the first couple of longs we bought did not work out, did not follow through, okay? Because it looked like gold was doing pretty good back then. I think one didn't trigger, and I think one triggered but failed in the golds coming off the low. So we were looking fairly early to play that trend transition in something like the golds, and it didn't work. And right now we're kind of going through the same thing, and it sucks, believe me. We've got a few stocks in the portfolio that are underwater, and I hate to use the word hope, but hopefully they'll come back. Maybe they'll come back. Some of them are doing okay today. But that comes with the territory. Once you get in the groove, so to speak, you'll be able to catch these trends along the way. It works really well over time, but it doesn't work all the time. So I do want to show you a couple of crypto trades here real quick. And these weren't announced ahead of time. Most of what I do here, 90-something%, I announce ahead of time, like the Ogre. A couple of weeks ago, I put that in my Facebook group. And all the mystery charts obviously come straight from the trading service. And eventually, I'll start announcing my crypto trades again when crypto starts to move. And I think we're, with Bitcoin improving, we'll take a look at that in just 1 second. I think we're possibly entering to those periods. What was cool a while back, before Bitcoin crash, and Bitcoin obviously is your bellwether. What was cool a while back was the bull bear cycles were super compressed in crypto. And it's about every, you know, you would catch some great uptrends and you get stopped out, and then the market would roll over the altcoins, so to speak, or the shit coins, and you just wouldn't do anything. And then all of a sudden, a few weeks later, you were in another bull market in crypto. And it's a really inefficient market and a great market to trade. And an inefficient market could make a move much larger than it would be expected. Okay. Somebody says to go up 100% over a few days or whatever, as a general statement. And you want to seek out inefficiencies in market. You want to seek out a market where everything is not priced in. Okay. But you do that by looking at the trends and say, okay, there's demand for this stock. And I'd say hope, but hopefully that demand will continue. So that's what trading inefficient markets is all about. Now, if a market is inefficient, you can play breakouts, okay? And that's what we do in IPOs with the buy and bid pattern. In crypto, and every now and then I'll play, and you'll go back and look at the older archives, but like in hindsight, that was kind of a really cool pullback here, okay? Almost a Landry-like pullback. But in crypto, when Bitcoin is doing okay, again, I use that as my bellwether, I will look to trade breakouts, okay? In this particular case, this market was making brand new highs. And keep in mind, by the way, I'm doing this in a very small manner, okay? I'm not betting my life savings on shit coins, okay? And I like to call them shit coins because it reminds you that these things are made up, they're mostly bullshit, okay? But that's okay. If you're a trader, you don't care. But you have to know that you might come in and lose 100% of what you put up, right? So you don't want to bet the farm on something like this. And you also want to use a pretty serious money management. But for now, I mean, I've been saying this for years, but that I just find, because these things can move so quick, I just use a 20% initial profit target on these. You can see this would hit that in one day. That's possible. That's an inefficient market. Doesn't always happen. But anyway, I take off half when it hits 20%. Here's another example. This was kind of a low-level breakout, but it looked like it bottomed out, okay? And I was able to get 20% in a couple days, and it's since retraced. So it's retraced far enough now to where I'm almost stopped out on this one. I don't really want to let this go into the negative column, but that's kind of the idea, at least for now, in crypto. Now, speaking of crypto, let's change gears and get into crypto, and we'll get into stocks next. If there's any stocks you guys want me to look at, let me know. We'll take a look at those in a minute. Just real quick in crypto, here's that OP trade we just talked about. Here's the VVUSD, okay? And so far we've survived, or I've survived this correction. And again, I'll start putting these out in the Facebook group as I put them on. And then maybe I'll also eventually put them out in X. So follow me on X too. And follow me, I don't know if that's an actual follow, I guess subscribe to me on Substack too. Anyway, so far so good. A little bit of a kind of a knockouts like type of pullback. Now, just for what it's worth, this is a pretty good looking pullback. I'm just kind of noticing this. Notice you had like a nice, not so gradual uptrend, but then it began to accelerate higher and then pull back. So what I'll do is I will trade the core, something that's similar to the core methodology with these crypto pairs when they set up as pullbacks, but I also trade breakouts as long as they continue to be inefficient. So Bitcoin's really improved. I wouldn't rush out and buy Bitcoin due to the amount of overhead supply here at, let's just say, 85,000 round numbers. 95,000 or so, but Bitcoin certainly improved. And based on this run here, these altcoins or shitcoins have gotten hot again. And sometimes you can just come in here and not in a big way, okay, just small trades. You can come in here and buy the ones that are up the most and banging out some new highs. See, this looks good. I don't know how this looks, might be a little thin, But see, this is more of a core methodology type of trade, kind of just melting up and nice little pullback. So that one might be worthwhile. Put that on your radar. That's TACUS, whatever the hell that is. But anyway, we'll just go through a few of these and see. This one's improving. Let's just see if there's anything that might be worth going after. That was Peanut a while back. That's a completely BS. It's what they call it. It's just based on people buying them. it's absolutely garbage, right? Anyway, this one kind of interesting as a stock that's kind of bottoming out. This is kind of more like a cup and handle, probably a bow tie too. So that's kind of interesting. And again, let's just see if there's any of that are really breaking out. Sometimes you, again, just come in here and buy the strongest pairs. It's not a whole lot happening, but they've been improving as of late, so that's good. All right, any pairs you guys want me to look at? If not, we'll shift gears and we'll go to stocks. By the way, a little housekeeping. There's been some issues with the signups for the GoToWebinar. So the GoToWebinar through my website. So I keep thinking they're going to fix the software, but they haven't. They used to fix things within a day, and now they must have got bought out or something. That's what sucks sometimes with these companies. So I have to put the direct link in there. But if you ever need the link, let me know until I get either software fixed or get the link. And that's davelanner.com/webinars. If right now, I think if you sign up and you don't get the link, the thank you page has the new link on it. So you'll end up on a thank you page. You'll have to click that link again. Sorry for the hassle. Every day I come in thinking they're going to fix it, and they never do. Anyway, let me shift gears. Let's get over the stocks. So here's the Landry 100. Let's see if we have any surprise in the direction of the trend. Yeah, there we go. So that's today's surprise in the direction of the trend, okay? 17% moving. Rackspace, that's a decent move. It's not the all-time highs. 13%, 11%. Now, these occasionally get whacked too, as you just saw a minute ago. So it's not all sunshine and rainbows. Be prepared for volatility if you're going to trade these crazy volatile stocks. Let's take a look at the overall market, and we'll drill down a little bit. First of all, S&P 500 banging on new highs here, off its best levels, but hey, new highs nonetheless. I've never seen the market go straight up like this. I don't remember any time like that. You know, I think COVID would be the closest after COVID for the market to do that, but that's a pretty impressive run, especially without a significant pullback. And it's been in a honey badger mode. I wasn't really crazy about this wedge here, but then the market kicked it back into gear. And as long as it's going up, there's going to be FOMO. I'm a man on the street kind of guy. I saw some distant in-laws last weekend for Mother's Day, and they're like, should we buy? Should we buy? And it's, you know, it's kind of hard to explain my methodology across the table. I could show them my my tattoo, which is uptrend, downtrend, and sideways on my arm, but most people don't get that. Should we wait for it to go down? It's like, well, a pullback, and then buy it when it goes back up, and just too much to explain. But anyway, there's definitely a lot of FOMO out there. The one thing that's scary is we're so overbought, and we've been overbought for so long. And again, there's all kinds of metrics out there. One, like I said, would be like Landry 100, like a 10-day moving average in the Qs. Let's take a look at that real quick. This is what I posted on too many Qs. Facebook. Okay, this is a 10-day simple moving average. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. Anyway, it's a lot. Okay, this thing has not touched a 10-day moving average in a long time. And it hasn't done that in a long, 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 long time. If you look at my plugin on ACP where you could plot the Landry light, you could go in and do a little research. And what I did was I set the ranges to 24 because that's where it was then. I think it's now at 27 or so. So if you set that to 27, you go back to the beginning of when the Qs first traded, you'll see that we've never had that much Landry light on a 10-day chart. So that's very, very, very impressive run. there. Let's take a look at the, there's the NASDAQ. They had a new highs with vigor. Honey Badger mode there. Honey Badger don't care, right? The Rusty's lagging a little bit compared to the other indices, but it's pulled back this prior breakout, which is okay. And now it's trying to get back to its old highs. Ideally, I'd like to see all these indices going in the same direction. I guess they're going in the same direction, but I'd like to see some strength in the Rusty too. You could throw a dart to most sectors. I will show you some weakness out there. But there's robotics and AI just off of all-time highs. Cybersecurity, not quite all-time highs. All-time highs today. Look at that. It's a crazy market, right? It's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. So commodity-related areas like copper, just off of brand new highs. Commodities overall have been strong. I don't necessarily think that's a good thing for the markets, but it is kind of interesting. EFA shares have lagged a bit. You can see all-time highs here. They've yet to make all-time highs. So the rest of the world is not buying it, so to speak. Biotechnology down a little today. You can see stuck in this sideways range for now. So I would avoid that. The XBI broke out and came back in. And last, of course, you have the mother of all setups. Now, there are some biotech. There is some biotech in the Landry 100, but not nearly as much as there was way back here, okay? And that, again, that's another thing that helps you wrap your head around momentum. As I think we had at 1.20 something. Yeah, Robert, keep them coming. We'll get to the stock picks in about 5 minutes. We had like 20 something, 21 biotechs, I think. Right now, we probably have like 20 something semiconductors, okay? Again, I don't purposely limit the number of stocks. As long as they look good, I'll add them to the Landry 100. But I do try to get a little variety in there if there's other stocks that are strong too, so we don't end up with 100 semiconductors. But there's a lot of semiconductors right now in there, and there's fewer and fewer biotechs. So that's a good thing to see the ebb and flow. Again, back here, it's just, boy, biotech after biotech after biotech. And then all of a sudden, starts chopping around. You start taking those stocks out as they become weak. One thing kind of cool, software has been in a downtrend forever, but it looks like it's trying to bottom out. So that's a good thing. And I have been seeing some strength in software. And again, look no further than like cybersecurity. Look at that. Brand new highs there. So that's doing pretty good. Transports have been lagging a bit of a double top there, bouncing back a little today. Banks in those areas stalled short of their prior high, so that's a little bit of concern. Getting back to some of these commodity-related areas, lithium's pulling back, but look at that. That looks fantastic. We could see some setups of lithium stocks fairly soon. Very impressed with MAGs, okay? And I've said this 100 times, maybe 1,000. Rarely does an old leader, okay, become a new leader. And you can see MAGs sold off fairly hard, but then it came back with a vengeance. So the MAGs are doing well. All service stocks, they're okay. They're climbing back to their old highs. They've lost a little steam, okay? And I guess if they make new highs and then pull back, we might start going after some of those stocks. Or again, if we really like the stock within the sector. But if you take a look at, as I've been saying, at nauseam, energies overall, they still look a little toppy, okay? They stalled out in a retrace rally, so they still look toppy. So I think it's a little dangerous to go to the all stocks, the all service stocks right now. But again, if something looks fantastic, we will go after it. Steel, back to the commodities, just off of brand new highs. That's looking pretty good. Semiconductors, bam, winning. Look at that. Like tiny elves. Look at that market. It's huge. Just keeps banging out new highs. We will see the mother of all corrections here someday. I guess someday is a key word. And that sentence, quantum computing, all-time highs today. On a pullback, we should see a plethora of setups. I promise you, markets just don't go straight up, okay? There's some weakness out there, as I alluded to a minute ago. Retail not looking so hot, pull it back from lows. That's looking kind of ugly. Bonds are a bit of concern just off these multi-month, almost multi-year lows. Bonds down, rates up. I'd like to see bonds rally a little bit. So it's kind of a little bit of a mixed action going on there. But obviously the major indices are banging out new highs with vigor, especially NASDAQ and the P's. I think that's pretty much it. Clean energy, just off of all-time high. So maybe we'll see some setups there. All right. Robert wants to know about APLD. APLD. Yeah, that looks good on a pullback. Now, it's kind of wide and loose, okay? So let's see what happens on a pullback. Good eye. My only concern, again, it's a little wide and loose. Let's take a look at some... Take a look at some Landry 100s. See how this stock is like thrust, pullback, same sort of action at all these. Notice these great trends that these have been in. So you want, as a general statement, some of these to, you want to trade stocks that trade cleanly. Now, some of these in the Landry 100 aren't perfect, okay? And like I said earlier, I will sometimes put in a speculative issue if it looks like it's really taken off, that it could be a little wide and loose. But for the most part, I'm focusing on stocks that tend to trade cleanly, okay? Like the AXTI, which we were long not too long ago. Band, okay, you can see thrust, pullback, and then melt up there. So that stock looks okay. And it is kind of getting its act together. So if it continues to rally, I'd like to see it rally a lot more to prove itself, to prove that there's super, super demand for this. And then play pullbacks along the way. As far as momentum, Robert, I think you'd probably do better going with something like the Landry 100 for your momentum list, or even better, run your scans every day and go through 1,500 to 2,000 stocks to find the best momentums. And what I do is I keep a momentum list. This is my old Landry list. Each day I publish what I call a Landry list, and these are stocks that are set up or close to setting up. Okay. And all the old Landry list and the old Landry 100s and the new Landry 100 list get copied over to this momentum list every day. And every now and then I'll go through it and clean it out. But going through this momentum list, you could see, and again, it probably needs to be cleaned out, but most of the stocks are looking pretty good. Okay. I might leave something like this one here and there as a potential short. But you want to... Again, if you're not going to run the Landry 100, I'd encourage you to run a momentum list like this. And see, this is one that recently broke down. So this will come out of the Landry. This will come out. This came out of Landry 100. This will come out of the momentum list, unless I want to keep it in here for a potential short. But most of these stocks are trade cleanly and tend to go up day after day, or at least they did at some point in time. So again, long-winded way of saying focus on momentum in stocks that trade cleanly, like this will probably come out of the list. We were long this one not too long ago. Unfortunately, we stopped out, but we did make a little money on that CLMT, and that was a prior Landry 100. All right, any more? Any other questions? Any comments? Complaints? Well, while we're in impasse, and see, here's a major oil. This will probably come out. It was set up as a short not long ago. That's why it's on this list, because I look at shorts and longs. I'm just not in a big hurry to take a lot of shorts while the market's going straight up. Can you imagine my clients have start recommending some shorts and then they fail miserably and the market's going straight up? That's a hard thing to do, right? Anyway, while we're in impasse, I want to thank everybody for attending. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. Anything unanswered, david@davelander.com. Probably won't do a show next week. In fact, I know I'm not going to do a show next week because I have the MetaStock webinar. Join me there. Check the comments below for that. And then the week after is Labor Day, Memorial Day weekend. And sometimes it's hard for me to put together a show on a shortened week. So probably not a show the week after that. So I'll probably end up seeing you guys in 2 weeks if you're looking for me here. And again, next week, check out that MetaStock webinar. It's amazing. I remember back in the day, and it was, I think, Telrate did seminars. And it was somebody, whoever bought Telrate, somebody afterwards. But I remember paying like $1,000 to see probably half or a third of what you're going to see in that MetaStock webinar. There's just, I think there's like 30 presenters total or something over a 5-day period. So there's a lot of good stuff there for free. Check that out. Make sure you use my link so I get credit for it, so they'll invite me back next time. Because if I don't, they want to see that somebody knows me out there. Otherwise, they'll they won't ask me back. So that helps me out. I appreciate you if you click on those links and sign up. Again, everybody have a great weekend. To you guys and girls in my Facebook group, I'll see you in a few minutes. Everybody else, hopefully next week at the MetaStack webinar. And then again, we'll start the week of charts in a couple of weeks. I think that's it. Again, great weekend, and may the trend be with you. Thank you so much. Oh, you're welcome.